Okay, I'm going to ask you guys in that front row if you could just sit back one row behind. Would that be okay? Just a little bit, just for a little while, okay? And you're going to have to, people going to sit there. Important people. Okay, those of you who are graduating this morning, please come and sit up front here if you don't mind. And even if you do mind. Yeah, there's room for one more there, dear. They didn't leave you out. Okay, so if you're here visiting today, today is a graduation Sunday for people who have been taking Bible classes through the Bible Training Center for Pastors and Church Leaders. That's whom we've been working with all these years. And you may be saying, well, where did this all begin? Well, it began actually back in 1998. And how did it begin? It began with a letter. It was a letter that I received from Victor Fernandez. And so out in the foyer, there's a letter on the back table, just behind the window where there's some candles. And there's a letter explaining what we're doing. And this is something that we do every year, is that we take up a free will offering to support them and their ministry. And so please avail yourselves to that. I sent our church family a letter, but if you want to participate as a visitor, you're certainly welcome to do that. It's the only time that we really take up any kind of a free will offering in that regard. Well, Victor Fernandez had sent us a letter and asking if I would come down and train some pastors. And so I went down and I had a pastor's conference with him. And he showed me around and he showed me his vision for a Bible school. And so we continued to dialogue. And I said to Victor, I said, you know, I'd be happy to support your ministry in terms of training pastors and church leaders. But I need to find curriculum that would be appropriate. And so the search was on. And so I came across an organization called Bible Training Center for Pastors and Church Leaders, which was geared to training pastors and church leaders in a third world, to train people who otherwise would not have an opportunity to go to college or to seminary. And so in the midst of that, having gotten that curriculum and so on, I met David Nelson. Now, we had already begun the classes. David Nelson came up actually about 2 years later. We'd already been in the classes for a couple of years. I went back and had a look at some of that and realized that I know some of you are saying, well, you know, we didn't start till about 2005. No, we had started much sooner than that. We just took the slow boat to China. So, what is a Bible class? Well, a Bible class is a place where we get to learn a little more about why do we read the Bible? Why is the Bible so important? And so there's another table out there that shows the 10 courses that they took. What are we hoping to do in our local church through these Bible classes? Well, we're hoping to equip teachers, elders, deacons, small group leaders, anybody who's going to have a part in training your children, young people, all the elders, anybody who's going to be involved in any form of leadership has to be part of a Bible class. Of course, our purpose there, again, is not only equipping, but hopefully helping each of them develop a clear biblical worldview. What is a worldview? Well, it's things that affect the way that we think, the way that we live. And in this case, when we say a biblical worldview, we're saying that we recognize that the Bible has the authority to teach us how to live. And so we focused on, one, encouraging each of the participants, of course, to read through the scriptures every year. And then, of course, hopefully as a result of that, the challenge would be to transform the way that they think and the way that you live. So the courses, you may be wondering, what courses did they take? Well, they took Bible study methods and rules of interpretation, Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, preaching biblical messages and pastoral ministry, preparing the biblical message, Bible doctrine survey, personal spiritual life, church ministry, administration and education, teaching principles and methods, church history, missions, evangelism, and discipleship. 10 books representing roughly 520 hours plus of course time. We did the plus part. And so we listened to lectures via audio. We've read articles. We've touched on every rabbit trail you could possibly think of and subjects. And we basically fielded all kinds of questions and answered them as best we could. We've enjoyed laughing. We've enjoyed, of course, at one another and at other people's expenses. We prayed for one another. We ate together. In essence, we learned to live together. And in essence, we have been doing ministry together for all these years. The emphasis of the courses is to understand the overall picture of Scripture, transformation of the worldview, transformation of the heart and mind, and then the equipping of men and women for service. Let me share just a few verses. You got your Bibles. These are the verses that they would have underlined in their Bibles. Just going to share a few of them. Those of you who are already taking Bible classes, by the way, we have roughly 123 students in Bible classes right now. We have been helping support training Bible classes in Haiti, of which there are 570 pastors and church leaders. We've been helping establish and training pastors and church leaders in the Philippines, and of which we've already had a graduation class. So we probably are the class that's taken maybe the longest in the BTCP history, but it's not because they're slow, but because we decided to work at a different pace. And so we have met faithfully every other week, working for about two and a half hours, and not afraid to, again, just digress along different trails, not always pertaining directly to the subject as such, but we got back on track and we managed to conclude the classes. Deuteronomy 29:29, turn in your Bibles. Those of you who are graduating, you recognize that passage. You know that was one of the first verses that I asked you to underline in your Bibles, because it's there as we think of God's progressive revelation that we recognize that God has given us what we need, but there are still some things that he hasn't revealed. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." So everybody in his Bible classes, if you're in the Bible class, you already got that verse underlined. I told you to do that. And remember it. Those of you who are here this morning, you're visiting, say, "Well, I've never been in a Bible class. Boy, that's an interesting verse. I'd never seen that one before." Why don't you underline it? It's a good verse to underline. Here's another verse, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." Success in the Christian life is measured by the transformation of character, transformation of the heart, so that we might live for the Lord our God and glorify him, that we would be caring for people who don't know, and we'd be careful to live our lives so that they too might be drawn to Christ. Another verse, Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Again, two verses that really can be summed up like this. Love God and love people. The vertical component is to love God with all our heart, our soul, and all our strength. The second is like that one, to love our neighbor with all our strength and all our heart. That's the horizontal component of life and all of our relationships. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Matthew 28. Another verse that you might want to underline in your Bible and think about. That is part of our disciple-making plan. Very key focus about us going to make disciples of all nations. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, has a lot to say about how we need to live our lives, how we need to go about transformation. The obligation, the expectation that God has of us, and yet recognizing that all of us are in process. We're not all going to mature immediately. It's going to take time. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." And then, of course, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Verses that help us understand that we have been created for a purpose, but we have come to understand it by virtue of God's grace. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance to do." 2 Timothy 2:2. Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, small group leaders, anyone who is actively working with young people are seeking to fulfill the principle that's found in 2 Timothy 2:2. The Apostle Paul took a young man named Timothy alongside him and traveled with him and taught him how to live, taught him the principles of life, and then said this, "The things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men," and we would say, "and women, who will also be qualified to teach others." And so hence these graduates, we want to be qualified to teach others. No, they're not all going to teach a Sunday school class, not all going to lead a small group, not all going to become missionaries or pastors and teachers, but they should be able to know the message sufficiently to be able to communicate it clearly to those to whom they know. And then lastly, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. One of the things that I think that believers fail to realize is that God has given us everything that we need. Everything that we need to lead a godly life. And so that's been really the topic of many of our classes, is to realize that our strength and our resources are found in our relationship. A clear relational knowledge of who Jesus is. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." And all of us want to escape the power of sin. The penalty of sin has been dealt with on our behalf. Having placed our trust in Christ, we've been granted eternal life. Not only simply after we die, but the quality of that life is to be experienced today. And God says, "I've given you the power to overcome the evil propensity, the evil desires. I have given you the power to overcome the power of sin in your life." Thank you, Lord, for the indwelling work of his Spirit to teach us and help us understand that. And so the charge to you as candidates this morning is I want you to remember who you are in Christ. You're special, precious. He gave his life for you. I also want to charge you with remembering your message. It's simple. Don't complicate it. Live it attractively so that others might be drawn to you. And I also want to charge you with your mission. your mission to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that Jesus commanded. And so may God build his kingdom through your lives and through our efforts together. I'm going to give some of the graduates an opportunity now to maybe share something that they've learned. I'm going to call them up a little later. I'm going to do a little bit of an impromptu Q&A, nothing serious. I won't put anybody on the spot necessarily. I'll do it unnecessarily. But please come and share 2 to 5 minutes what you have learned, and then we'll have the official presentation of certificates. Do you want me to call you up one at a time? Okay, thank you.
I suppose if I went last, I could just say, well, what the last guy said, but then they might take all my ideas. So. Well, in typical school-type fashion, I didn't really plan anything ahead of time. Mike has given us a couple weeks' notice and said, make sure you have something prepared to share 2 to 5 minutes, so start your timers. But no, as I was thinking this morning about the things that I learned in Bible classes, I guess the first thing that came to mind was it was a really neat opportunity that worked well with my life where I was at. When we started, hey, Auntie Judy, didn't know you were out. She's not normally around here. No, when we started Bible classes, I had bought a house early on. I had a job. I think I was engaged or possibly newly married. But especially having a mortgage, it seemed like going to Bible school was one thing that just wasn't really going to happen in my life. And yet I knew that I wanted to be involved in ministry, certainly here, whether I think early on it was with the college and career group and with youth. But, you know, I had this impression working with some other youth leaders in town and stuff, you know, everybody else had a degree, they had gone to Bible school for years and learned all sorts of stuff. And so I definitely didn't have any confidence in, not in my own faith, you know, I knew what I believed, but I didn't have the confidence that there was any way I could possibly ever teach somebody else. And so that was a big thing for me. And you know, even the way that we did the Bible classes every other week, we knew this was going to take years, and yet that still allowed us to be part of a small group and enjoy some of the other benefits that come with that. So I really liked the way that the logistics, if you want to call it that, all worked out. A couple of the things that I think I've benefited from in my walk with God through the Bible classes, along the lines of confidence, I've been much more confident. I've found it easier to articulate the things that I believe with either other believers or non-believers. At work, I'm much more aware of the opportunities that I might have to share my faith and probably go about it in a little better fashion than I might have before the Bible classes. I think my whole bird's eye view of Scripture is a lot stronger than it used to be going through the Old and the New Testament surveys where we went through and we studied every book of the Bible, some quicker than others and some we dwelt on a lot more, but it's given me a much better understanding, and to do that kind of consistently start to finish as opposed to maybe studying a book here and studying a book there. And let's see, now it's time to look at the list. Are my 2 minutes up yet? Knowing where I stand on issues of doctrine, you know, I said before that I didn't really have doubts about my faith or anything like that, but knowing how to, you know, somebody asks you about a term that before you might not have even heard of, now you know what that means and how it relates to your life and that kind of thing. Having a better understanding of some of the other world religions and cults and that kind of thing. Yep, that's about it. Definitely highly recommended if you're not already involved in a Bible class. I think Mike said there were 100 and some people involved, so that's probably a good chunk of you. But yeah, definitely worth the whatever number of years it took. So
when Bob Wilkin goes to preach or teach somewhere, he always takes a picture of the crowd, right? Notice that? And I was thinking back, Mike should have taken that picture when we first started. Because I was just thinking, like, what was things like back then? Corny was still in his 30s, now he's pushing 50. Todd was probably in grade 3 or 4. Like, things have changed a lot since that happened. Anyways, yes, it's been, like Warren said, a long road of maturing for all of us, I think. And we've had a very good teacher. I think Mike is one of the best, and we had him for at least 10 years here. So we have benefited. You know how when you throw a frog into boiling water, it screams or whatever? He started us in cool, warm water, and then he turned the heat up, and we all survived. Each lesson wasn't just a lesson. It was a life application. It was whatever needed to be that day, whatever needed to happen that week, or whatever our church was going through at the time. We took time to go through that and see how the Bible applied, the lessons applied. And basically, the material was a vehicle. I think Mike could have taught us any other way he wanted to, but he happened to use this particular material, and as we went through it, he gave us everything we needed. I think we went through the Old Testament, New Testament surveys probably more intensely than anybody ever would in the Bible school, because we spent a lot of time at it, and some of us actually have gotten a chance to teach some of these things, and that really helps in learning. I think anybody that's not in the Bible classes, you probably want to get in there, especially if you're only in your 30s now, right, Corny? And here's Mike, you know, he was looking a little more black hair and lots of hair when he started, and he's got one class completed now. He's given birth to a class. And you take a picture of him now and look 10 years from now, and if you would start today, this might be your last chance. So sign up.
Hello. I got a long list. So. Basically, that's the way I work. Got everything in lists, and then I list them off, check them off, and then there you go. Okay, so basically the first thing that I learned very early on in the classes is context. You'd think that's pretty simple for people to realize that context is important, right? Like in any conversation, you walk up into a conversation and you just hear a small little snippet, and you say, whoa, that wasn't very nice, but you didn't hear the whole conversation. You don't know, maybe they're saying this is what somebody else said or whatever, right? So in Scripture, you can take it out of context where you read just a small snippet of it or a small portion of it, and you could go make it say anything you want, basically. And so when I came to those Bible classes, I didn't realize, I realized to an extent how that could be done, but I didn't realize that there was actually a context for every verse and in every portion of Scripture. So to learn initially that context is key, right away I could bookmark it and say, okay, I got to find out what the context is when I read any verse of Scripture, right? And so that helped me right away get clearer on my view of any verse that I would read. And so that was big for me. Plus there was also some general rules for interpreting things, like you could look at the history of it or the culture that it was said to or spoken to. And when you learn a little bit about of certain cultures, you realize you can get a more accurate meaning of what that means, right? And so that was another thing. And then again in the Old Testament and New Testament survey, I kind of learned where the Bible came from, how we got our Bible, right? And kind of the relationship between the Old Testament and New Testament. I always, when I first I guess, was a Christian, became a Christian, I didn't know the importance of the Old Testament. I thought Old Testament was, well, that's old, that's, you know, way back there. It doesn't apply anymore, right? I actually have family who still think that the Old Testament is just way too complicated, way too hard to understand because things were different back then, right? And so through this Bible class, I learned that the Old Testament is very important if you want to understand the New Testament, right? And that without understanding specific certain things about the Old Testament, you can't fully grasp what's in the New Testament. Because actually a big portion of the New Testament is quotations from the Old Testament, right? And so realizing that the whole book is important was very key to me as well. I mean, I knew that before that, but I didn't know how it applied. Same, still talking about Old Testament, New Testament. I thought in the Old Testament, faith was something different than in the New Testament. I thought the Old Testament people got saved by sacrificing and by you know, coming to the temple and bringing their sin offerings and all that stuff. And now in the New Testament, we were lucky. We just got to come and ask forgiveness and talk to Jesus, and we were forgiven, right? And so realizing that, no, the Old Testament people, they got saved by faith just like we do, right? And that cleared up a whole ton of complications for me because there's only one way. I had heard there's only one way to get to heaven, right, through faith. But what about the Old Testament people, right? That was different back then. And so to realize how that all fit together was big for me as well. Okay, then also I think in book four we kind of learned how to prepare messages, biblical messages. And again, the confidence of when you realize a lot of these different things and how to come to Scripture and in context and how to interpret it, then you can also be more confident in when you want to teach it, right? And so book four helped us a lot with that as well. All the books work together, but helping us to know that we're accurately teaching. And that's one thing, again, that Mike does very well is wherever, doesn't matter what class he's teaching or what context he's teaching, he always ties it together, how the whole thing, all of Scripture works together. And always pointing that out just really helped me get more of that, Warren was talking about, that bird's eye view, how this and this and this all applies to what I'm doing today, right? Okay, and then also we learned about the origin of the church and the purpose of the church, how the church is supposed to function today, and we have a discipleship making plan here. And with that, I kind of, when I first came to this church, I thought, looking at it from Sunday to Sunday, especially in the beginning, it looked like there was no plan. It would look like we were just random, right? But then when I got to learn a little bit more of what was going on behind the scenes, I realized that I don't know of any other church necessarily that has as much of a plan and behind the scenes as what we do here. And Mike is a big part of that. He's very strategic, very he plans for the future. It's not just randomly done however it happens. So and it's not helium, it's truth. So also we learned about church history. Again, that helped me knowing some of the stuff that happened way back and how we got our Bible through that, and that it was written by people but inspired by the Holy Spirit, all those things. Again, the historical factors and the cultural factors and all that helped me to get a better overall view of it. So and that helped shape my life and how I read Scripture. So basically, I read it much different now than I used to. So having said that, I again believe this church is following the biblical principles that we've learned in this whole course. And the more involved I become, the more I see that there is a plan here, and the plan always takes us back to Scripture. How did Jesus do it? And we seek to do it the same way. And that's why I'm here. I want to be a part of that, making disciples, bringing others to the realization of the truth. Okay, thank you.
Well, now I wish I had a list. But I want to talk a little bit about not just what we learned, but the experience of being in a part of the classes. And as I thought about it the last couple of days, just like Les, I thought about the amount of time that's gone by and how so much has changed since we started out. And it's surprising to think about how long it's been. And I think part of the of why the experience was good is having the same group of people together for so long, and just how that added to the positive experience. I do think back and remember the times when maybe, you know, we were thinking, oh, we have Bible class tonight, I'm so tired, I don't know if I want to sit through 2.5 hours of church history tonight. And there was times when we didn't go, and so I'm thankful that we did stick it out, and thankful that Mike stuck it out. If I think about the things that we learned, some of the things that come to my mind are church history and how different events and people had a significant impact on religion and on Christianity. And I think about, as we went through the Old and New Testament surveys, how some things kind of came together for me, and I started to understand how things were connected between the Old and New Testaments. But I think the biggest thing for me was going through Book One and coming to an understanding of what Bible study really is, and how reading the Bible for devotion is different than really trying to study it and understand it, and understanding the context and knowing or finding out who wrote it and who they're writing to and why they were writing it, and how all of that is so important in understanding what the passages are saying. Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to break the ice for the ladies. For me, it's been a pleasure to be with all of you, and you're an inspiration to me. I have learned lots from you, and especially from Mike. Thank you, Mike. Like Rick was saying, the church history was the big one for me. And I mean, all the books are wonderful, but just how Christ have, or God has, preserved the word for us. That is an amazing thing. So I encourage you to go to Bible classes and learn. And I know that when we started, we were babies. I know I was a baby. And I didn't know much about the Bible, but I was already a Christian, obviously. But being in Bible classes, I really opened my eyes. I think I was walking blind. And but just learning from it and just being together with everyone. I think at the time that we started, we lived in Roland, I think. And Mike and Renee were so faithful coming to Roland to teach us, and so that we can be here today. And thank you so much for that. And I have learned lots. And encouragement for all of you. If you're not in Bible classes, to please continue. Those 10 years will fly by.
Well, out of all the 10 books that we studied, I brought two along to show you. Those were my favorites. The one is called The Personal Scriptural, Personal Spiritual Life. And I like this because I think it helped me to grow in the Lord, because that was always my prayer, that I want to grow in the Lord and be closer in my walk. I wanted to have a better prayer life and a better Bible reading life, and so the book really helped. And it's all about prayer and things like that, and there is one prayer here that it's written in there, and I want to read it to you if you don't mind. It's called A Daily Prayer for the Believer. Father, may we live today in purity and conscious awareness of your presence. praising you and being enabled by your power to walk in the light of your promises, following your paths, practicing your principles, resting in the sufficiency of your provision, experiencing your peace, seeing all the circumstances which come our way from your perspective, and persevering in them in faith, being devoted to ministering to people and proclaiming Christ at every opportunity, and being intent on allowing the Holy Spirit to produce Christ's life in us, thus accomplishing your purpose. For we pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so the next book that I liked much was The Church History. And I think that was because I like history so much, almost any kind of history. And so in this book, we learned about the martyrs. And I had just been reading about Felix Mons and John Huss and those guys. So that fit in very nicely. And we also learned a bit about the Quakers and the Waldensians and the Huguenots. And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that all correctly, but to me that was very interesting because I have a Huguenot somewhere back in my history. And if you don't remember who they are, they were French Calvinists who were very persecuted by the Catholic Church and the King of France at that time. I think it was in the 1600s or so. And they had to flee the country. And my ancestor had fled to Danzig, Prussia. And her last name was Gilles or something like that. So I'm related to Mike and Renee. Okay. Now, in the book, there's also stuff about the kings and queens of England and France and Russia and how they influenced the church and how they affected the church. So I found that all very interesting. And then there's also stuff about people like Jonathan Edwards, D.L. Moody, and John Wesley, guys that I had studied about in my Bible school. So I found the history part very interesting, very informative. And I did not really think that I would graduate because I missed quite a few sessions, and I don't think I turned in all my summaries that we were supposed to turn in. But anyway, here I am, and I thank Mike for the opportunity, but I'm wondering, where's my cap and gown?
Well, it's been a great time to be going to the classes, and I have appreciated them very much. This course and other teachings have helped me understand so many different things in the way that we see the world, and I just thank you for the teaching and the help that you've given. The history course as well has been really meaningful to me, and being able to understand our past and what is going on for our Mennonite heritage to doing what it has been done. And I really appreciated your work, Mike.
Okay, Les, it's my turn.
Everybody knows he's an accountant, right? I think he needs to work on his numbers a little more. I aged 20 years in a 10-year period, or close to it. Well, we'll leave it there. Anyway, we've had a lot of fun over the years in our Bible classes, and as I was trying to think too, like, what am I going to say in a couple of minutes over a 10-year period, and there were so many things, and yet at times my mind was totally blank. What do I say? but I've written down some things here, and it might seem a little bit random, but that's kind of how the thoughts came to my mind. So just kind of some of the highlights that I thought of as I was thinking about this. Anyway, I was just thinking too, like, how many people just in our, let's say in our town, have Bibles? And if we put all those Bibles in one pile, that would be a pretty big pile. But how many people actually understand it clearly? I think that pile would be a whole lot smaller. And that's where I was at too. I can just think back to when we started the Bible classes. It feels a long time ago already, but just when I think of all the things that I've learned at the Bible classes, it's hard for me to sometimes figure out exactly, did I learn that at Bible classes or was it through some other teaching? But that's a good thing because we were hearing the same message wherever things were being taught. Okay, now I have to wear these less. Over that time period too, there was often times, and I know I heard other people saying the same thing, you know what, I've heard it, but man, I forgot it. I just can't remember everything. I'm just not catching it. But hearing the same thing over and over again has helped me to retain a whole lot more of it. When I think of some of the books that probably had the greatest impact in my life was definitely book one. And I've heard a number of you saying it already. But learning to read the Bible in the correct context with the one intended meaning that God has. And that's all he has for the Bible. There is only one intended meaning from Genesis through Revelation has helped me tremendously. And then going through the Old and New Testament surveys, just kind of getting more of a visual of what God's plan was right from the start. And then to see God's grace throughout the Old Testament, and obviously we see it clearly in the New Testament, but sometimes we think of it, well, where was God's grace in the Old Testament? It was there right through. When you study it, you will see that, and I'm sure many of you have. We get the big picture, and we see that how God was revealing himself and his redemptive plan for man. One thing that I learned as well was that the people in the Old Testament, sometimes we think they were saved in a different way than what we are saved today, but actually, they were saved the same way. They were looking forward to the promises of God and the coming deliverer. We look back today. Learning about preparing a lesson, preparing messages helped me a lot too. Church history and missions, evangelism and discipleship. One thing that kind of stuck out in my mind as we were going through it, as we were looking at some of the different cults, there's many Christians who seem to be easy prey for false teaching and cults. And that is because either they might not be reading their Bibles a whole lot or not understanding what they're reading. And people are hungry and as a result are easy prey sometimes for believing something that is not true. Now that we've finished these 10 books, it's not about the knowledge that we've received that or the idea of having arrived, but it's about understanding the truth of God's word, and when we read it, that we can understand it and in the context of God's intended meaning and being set free. I've been set free by understanding the truth of his word, and I'm motivated by gratitude, not by fear, to live my life for him. And that is my goal, what I want to do for the rest of my life, is to help other people understand that. We share the good news with people. We try to help people understand, but God does the work in people, and that's my goal. Thanks.
I wasn't planning, even though I'm coming up here, but my husband said, yeah, I want you to say something. I have the greatest part living with the teacher. No. It's not always the greatest, but that's okay. It's not because of him. It's because I might not do the homework or something. You know. It's a wonderful opportunity to have in our church family to be able to take these courses. And we don't have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars. And I just want to, you know, encourage you, if you're not part, I know everybody else said the same thing. Everything I say is going to have already been said, but to have that opportunity to study God's word. My favorite were Old Testament survey, just seeing those principles in the Old Testament said again in the New Testament and apply. It's just great to see that. You say, oh, I read this, I've been reading the Bible for years and years, and I didn't put those two portions together, which was very good. Another thing that hasn't been said, I said, don't give up. If you're part of a Bible class now and you feel like you're not getting it, he'll say it again and again and again. So you'll eventually get it. So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And also, you have the books to read again. You have the material. Oh, what did we say here? Or how does that go? You pick up the book. You go and look. And Mike might not be around forever, but we have materials. I'm assuming you'll pass away eventually. But I'm not waiting for that day. I know I said it that way. But I'll have... Anyway, it's just been a great opportunity to spend with these friends studying God's word. Another person that's hasn't graduated, but she's been in our books in the last little while through Skype, is Esther. I know she didn't finish the two other books, I think two books or three books, but it was great. We could do it through Skype as well, and I know Mike has a couple other people that are doing it like that. But anyway, if you're not involved, next book one, there's opportunity. And if you are involved and maybe feeling like you're not getting a whole lot at times, just keep going.
My plan was Warren's original plan, to be last and say, yep, I learned everything they learned, so... But my father-in-law kind of gave me an elbow here to come up and say something. For me, I guess I learned so much through pretty much all the books. Definitely the context part from book one, yeah, that's definitely a huge factor. That's helped me interpret different scriptures as I read through them and everything like that. And yeah, to be more of a... to live my beliefs out in my work and everywhere else has definitely helped me do all that as well. But my most interesting book that I found was also the church history, because I really like history as well, and just how God has preserved his word and used different people to help preserve that word, no matter how many other people tried to miscommunicate its meanings throughout history. That was definitely encouragement for me. Also the fellowship that we all had together, and just staying with the same class, is definitely also a good environment to just continue to learn with fellow believers and all that. So, yeah.
Okay, what I'd like to do is call the BTCL graduates. I'll call your names. I want you to just come up and stand up here, and then I'll hand out the certificates. I'll call them in alphabetical order. Renee, Bruce, Mary, Alice, Jerry, and Grace. There are two different tracks in the program. The tracks are BTCL, which is Bible Training Center for Church Leaders. And these have completed those courses. BTCP will not give a pastor training certificate to women. And so, although there are men here, Helen, how come I haven't got you up here? I'm sorry. I got you. Don't worry, I've got your certificate here. I don't know how I missed that. Yeah. Thank you. Got to make sure I got that. Yeah, I do. And so that track is meant to just ensure that we're equipping our church and so on. And like I said, although we have men who are part of this as well, it's not just for women. It's not BTCL for women, BTCP for men. It's just that we actually have people who probably never really fulfill that role of being a pastor teacher, whereas those who are in the BTCP track or those who are recognized who could definitely fulfill that role. And so certainly want to congratulate you for having persevered, and you've encouraged all of us. I want, if you're in a Bible class, I want you to stand up, okay? If you're in a Bible class, you just stand up, okay? So if you're visiting here this morning, you're sort of saying, well, how many people in our church are in a Bible class? Well, this is representative of the 120-some people that are actually being taught here pretty much every other week. And so not all of them are here. Some of them are in different churches and so on. You can be seated. And so on behalf of BTCP, Crossing Cultures, I want to recognize your hard work, your love for the Lord. And my prayer is that you'll continue to be used of God in our local church. And that you'll go back to those books and those lessons, and that you'll tell others about what you have learned. I'm going to shake your hand. Yes, dear. I get to kiss her, though, right? Okay. Congratulations. Bruce, congratulations. Ellis, congratulations. There you go. Jerry, congratulations. Grace, congratulations. Helen, I'm sorry, I forgot you. I didn't mean to. Congratulations. There you go. Let's give them a hand. Okay, you stay up here. You stay up here, because what will happen is we're going to actually have a group photo. Some of the pictures are going to be sent off to Crossing Cultures, and that'll be part of their newsletter and BTCP. Okay, now I'll ask the BTCP candidates, graduates, if you'll come on up. So we've got Corny, Rick, John, yes, Les, Warren, and Ben. And you just stand right in front of them, that's fine. You do it in order, that way I could hand out the certificates in order. Corny, Rick, John, Warren, and Ben. Thank you. Yeah, I know it's hard. Anyway, it's so good to know that you'll be able to preach more often. Lord bless you. Can't wait to hear that first message. That's great. Lord bless you. Congratulations. Yeah, I'll get back at you later. Appreciate you, brother. Lord bless you. Congratulations, man. Okay, let's give them a hand. Okay, Eva, how do you want us to take a picture? And then we'll stand up and we'll... Okay, I'll ask you to stand with me as we have a closing prayer. Yeah, Renee said something that maybe some of you who have been in the Bible classes sometimes don't understand, is that, yeah, there is a lot of repetition. She would say, you know, you said that before. I did, but you know something? Many of you didn't catch it the first time through. And I have consciously repeated some things so that you would. And then hopefully you'd be able to share it with others as well. Let's bow in a word of prayer and commit these graduates to the Lord's care. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for these men and women who have persevered, who are already actively involved in making disciples in our local church and other places. Lord, you have used not only these materials, but the approach and to affect men and women around the world. And you have allowed us as a church family to be able to experience that. We thank you for Victor and Sally Fernandez, who were instrumental in helping us to find a curriculum, to find a tool, a resource by which we could make disciples. Thank you for them. We thank you also for the gracious gift of life, eternal life, found in the person of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are entrusting us with the message and the mission to reach the world. And so build your kingdom through the lives of these men and women. May they equip others in the interest of reaching the lost. Now to him who sits on a throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. God bless you.